Let me make sure everything's running. Do, 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 do. All right.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm just peachy. How are you feeling? You feeling better?
Much, much better.
Yeah?
Much better. Yes.
That's
thank you.
Good. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are
yes,
you?
Yes. Thank you.
Well, that's good. I still sound like I have a frog in my throat, but whatever. I feel better. I guess.
That's good. That's what matters.
Yeah. Except I may sneeze a lot.
Oh, well, that's good.
That won't bother you, will it?
No.
Okay, good. So, how are things?
Fantastic. It's a shitty rainy day down here in not so sunny Florida.
Yeah.
I had to wear long pants to go out to the store. It's horrible.
Long pants?
I know, long pants.
Did you still wear sandals, though?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's not that bad.
No.
Is it your 2 days of winter? Is that what you're...
Yes. So it? Winter should be done by tomorrow.
Okay. You can come up here where it's going to be 29 tomorrow night.
No, thanks.
No? You sure?
That's good. Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Wuss. Fine, be that way. I'm going to be clearing my throat a lot. I'll try not to do it on mic. So last week we talked a lot about politics.
We did.
And a couple interesting things happened this week. The government shutdown ended.
Finally.
Kinda.
Yeah, for 3 weeks.
So, am I right in assuming that they basically put people's lives in jeopardy for nothing?
Yep.
Am I reading that right?
You are reading that right.
Okay.
And it costs the economy $6 billion. So, you know, Republicans, you guys are awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm flabbergasted at what the fuck is going on in this.
Yeah.
Shit. I'm not really sure how anybody who voted for Trump can now look at it and say, oh yeah, he's doing a terrific job.
Yep.
I don't know what he was, but I guess one of his guys got arrested.
Mr. Stone.
I guess things might be changing a little bit.
I don't know. You know, you think you're getting close, but
I'm intrigued to find out how far this actually goes. Because like, this is just Trump ensuring that he's not going to get reelected, right?
Oh,
He's shown his true colors of like, he doesn't give a fuck. And like, he's just actively now being like, look, I don't want to do this again. Like I'm done being president. 'Cause he's a fucked up dude if he thinks that he's doing a good job.
Yeah.
And anybody who thinks he's doing a good job, and I've seen all that shit of like, oh, his base still thinks he's doing a wonderful job. It's like, really? How? They can't think that.
Well, there's people online who are saying that they've been out of work because of the shutdown and they fully support it.
How?
I don't know. But we should be starting to make a list of these people so we can take away their right to vote. Because you're obviously not smart enough to do that.
Yeah.
I still think you need to pass a test before you can vote.
Yeah. Absolutely. It is. It's become fucking amazing. But, you know, we've always talked about where would you move? I don't know. I still think somewhere in Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Things aren't that well over there. It's much more expensive to live there. They hate most Americans.
Well, I know.
Because, you know, they see Trump and Kardashians on TV. So that's what they think all Americans are.
Aren't we, though?
No.
You don't want to portray us as that. You don't think everybody in the outside world is like, oh, you're just stupid Kardashians?
Well, aren't we?
I don't know. I don't know. I was thinking about this today. I don't know if I'd want to be Kardashian rich.
Yeah.
I feel like that would just cause more problems.
Certainly.
And I don't know if it's just the fact that I've never had money. But I just don't feel like that would be a good way to live.
I would be willing to try it. So, you know, if the opportunity comes my way, yeah. I would be willing to try it. See how it goes.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, take it from there.
Okay. I don't know. Like it'd be nice to make more money on a whole to not worry about so many things. But I think once you reach over a certain amount, it may not be good. It may not be sure. What everybody thinks it is.
No, I don't think it is. I think there's a lot more problems that come with getting a lot of money.
Yeah.
But again, I'm willing to try. I will bite the bullet for the sake of science.
Okay. For science.
And I will try it. Yes.
Okay. All right. Wow. So do you think that in 3 weeks they're just going to shut the government down again?
No, I think this next time he's going to pull the, state of emergency card.
But doesn't he still have to go through somebody for that?
Yes.
So they're just going to stop him anyway.
See, that's just it. The people who can stop him won't.
I thought he still had to go through like Congress or something, because at the end of the day, they are the ones responsible for the money anyway.
Right.
Let's see what this says. What can the president do during a state of emergency? And don't mind us, folks. This is what happens when you don't plan what you're going to talk about beforehand.
Yes.
Unknown to most Americans, a parallel legal regime allows the president to sidestep many of the constraints that normally apply. The moment the president declares a national emergency, a decision that is entirely within his discretion, more than 100 special provisions become available to him. While many of these tee up reasonable responses to genuine emergencies, some appear dangerously suited to be a leader bent on amassing or retaining power. For instance, the president can, with the flick of his pen, activate laws allowing him to shut down many kinds of electronic communications inside the United States or freeze America's bank accounts. Other powers are available even without a declaration of emergency, including laws that allow the president to deploy troops inside the country to subdue domestic unrest. So let's see. The premise underlying the emergency powers is simple. The government's ordinary powers might be insufficient in a crisis, and amending the law to provide greater ones might be too slow and cumbersome. Emergency powers are meant to give the government a temporary boost until the emergency passes or there is a time to change the law through normal legislation processes. So, what's going on at the border, I don't feel constitutes that.
No, there's not a bunch of Colombians with tanks who are about to storm the border and get into Texas and, not at all.
Although he says San Antonio is well protected and it's like, well, San Antonio is not even near the border. So whatever.
Well, duh.
He also has the emergency power of an internet kill switch.
Yes. He would love that. Yes. He would love that. See, I think that's part of his end game is he really wants to be a dictator. He wants to be the czar.
Right.
And I think we should treat him and his family like the Russians treated the czars and just go in and take care of the problem.
Well,
now, maybe if the little retarded kid escapes, years later becomes Anastasia, I'd be okay with that.
Okay.
As long as you get rid of the big problem.
The president could seize control of the U.S. internet traffic, impeding access to certain websites and ensuring that internet searches return pro-Trump content as the top results.
Yeah.
He could also sanction Americans. The law allows the president to declare a national emergency to deal with any unusual and extraordinary threat to national security, foreign policy, or the economy that has its source in whole or substantial part outside of the U.S. So I'm pretty sure that this might be what he's talking about. The president then can order a range of economic actions to address that threat, including freezing assets and blocking financial transactions in which any foreign nation or foreign national has an interest. Boots on Main Street. The military should not act as a domestic police force, has deep roots in the nation's history, and is often mistaken for a constitutional rule. The Constitution, however, does not prohibit military participation in police activity. The Insurrection Act of 1807 provides the necessary authority. As amended over the years, it allows the president to deploy troops upon the request of a state's governor or legislature to help put down an insurrection within that state. It also allows the president to deploy troops unilaterally, either because he determines that rebellious activity has made it impracticable?
Sound it out. Come on.
Impracticable. That's not impractical. I don't know. Whatever. because he deems it necessary to suppress insurrection, domestic violence, unlawful combination, or conspiracy. We all know he's a conspiracy nut.
Impracticable. Impossible in practice to do or carry out.
Okay. Impracticable. We've all learned a new word today, folks.
There you go. See? Dang it, we learned you something.
I'm 44 years old. I've never seen that. Does that mean I'm stupid? You're not saying anything. I'll take that as a yes. So this is what the Atlantic.com is putting out there. Imagine that it's late 2019. Trump's approval ratings are at an all-time low. A disgruntled former employee has leaked documents showing that the Trump organization was involved in illegal business dealings with Russian oligarchs. The trade war with China and other countries have taken a significant toll on the economy. Trump has been caught once again disclosing classified information to Russian officials, and his international gaffes are becoming impossible for lawmakers concerned about national security to ignore. A few of his Republican supporters in Congress begin to distance themselves from his administration. Support for impeachment spreads on Capitol Hill in straw polls, pitting Trump against various potential Democratic presidential candidates. the Democrat consistently wins. So what does Trump do? He reacts. Unfazed by his brazen hypocrisy, he tweets that Iran is planning a cyber operation to interfere with the 2020 election. His national security advisor claims to have seen ironclad evidence, but highly classified, that that there's a planned assault on the U.S. democracy. Proclaiming a threat of war, Trump evokes Section 706 of the Communications Act to assume government control over internet traffic inside the United States in order to prevent the spread of Iranian disinformation and propaganda. He also declares an emergency under IEEPA, authorizing the Treasury Department to freeze the assets of any person or organization suspected of supporting Iran's activities against the United States. So, like, these are actual things that he could do.
Right.
And, like, really just have a fucking power grab. And then somebody's just going to have to go in there.
Well, that, but Congress can also choose to limit his powers.
Oh, well.
So, can't really... Yes, he can try to do these things.
Right.
But there's still checks and balances.
Okay.
And I would assume that if he called a state of emergency that was totally bogus, that they could immediately turn around and censure him.
I hope so.
And say, you know, no, this is enough. You're fucking retarded. Sorry.
Oh, man. What a fucked up time to be alive.
Yeah.
I mean, people thought that, like, Bush number two was an idiot.
Well, and now we know for a fact that Bush number two was not the biggest wimp in the White House.
Nope.
So, okay, Ann Coulter got one thing right.
Oh, man. She's another unbelievable person.
There are all these gadflies, these things that, like, you know, come around because the shit stinks and they want some attention from it.
Yeah, she's fucking a piece of work too. Although they're all turning on him now, so we'll see.
It's getting there. It's getting there. I mean, I hope there's really juicy stuff. That's all I want.
You really want a P-tape? Is that what you're wanting?
I really want a P-tape. Now, did you hear about Giuliani's rant over the weekend or at the end of the week?
Which one? Because he backtracks on everything.
He was going off saying, it's like, you know, I don't want to go down as being the guy who lied for Trump. I've seen all the videos. They're like, what videos? What videos? What tapes?
I did see that. I did. Yes. I don't remember where I saw it, but it was like, yeah, he just totally, like, implicated himself that he's seen everything.
Yeah. I mean, great. There's a subpoena right there. Right there. National security.
I really want to know what Mueller knows. I'm really waiting for him to put his cards on the table and say, all right, folks.
See, I just want to see the entire family taken out of the White House in handcuffs.
But he may
every last one of them.
I wonder if he's waiting for it to be closer to the end of his presidency, because he knows that Pence is even worse.
So we got to wait another 2 years for this?
I don't know.
It's only been 2 years.
I know. It feels like an eternity. Because we've had to put up with them for what, four, with this bullshit?
Yes.
So yeah, it feels like it should be over, but. And if for some reason he runs and shit happens and he gets back in there, he's going to be so fucking insufferable.
Uh-huh.
That it's not even going to be funny.
Right. Well, it's all Hillary's fault. I mean, Hillary is actually supporting the Russians who are doing this.
Oh, of course.
So, you know.
The Russians that he's working for?
Yes.
That's the idea?
Yeah. See, I mean, if there's nothing to hide, why are all these people lying about it?
And all of
them
are lying.
If it's all perfectly innocent business... I don't understand it.
Yeah, it's a little strange. Like if you look at the amount of people in his in the past 2 years that have come and gone under him. And all of them that are now in trouble with the law. it's like, how can you then say that he's doing what he's doing is on the up and up?
Right.
You fucking can't, because
no, of course not.
He is just, he's proving what an unreasonable fucking person he is. But it's all money grabs. It's all people who are there for a couple months and then they'll write a book.
That's it. That's really it.
I mean, so I'm not watching it, but they just started Celebrity Big Brother.
Yes.
And Anthony Scaramucci was supposedly on there, except he hasn't been on the show, I guess.
I thought he didn't even make it through the first episode.
Well, so apparently the people who have like early access, you know, you can pay like $30.
Right.
And you get like camera feeds that they don't show during all that shit. So they said when those were turned on, he was already out of the house. And that that his picture on the thing was still in color. And like when you leave the house, it gets turned black and white.
Yeah.
And nobody could figure out in the house what had happened to him, where he went. He just kind of disappeared.
Right.
And when they asked him about it, he was like, oh, I'm not done with the show. And it's like, wait, what? So there's this, all this weird shit, but like that was his path in life. He was like press secretary for the United States of America for 11 days.
For 11 days.
And then he went on Celebrity Big Brother. And I use the term celebrity loosely because like Lindsay Lohan's mom is on it.
Yeah.
She's not a celebrity. So, yeah.
So he wasn't even, he was the twist.
Well, that's what they think.
Well, no, this, so
is that coming from CBS? ET,
according to, Entertainment Tonight.
Okay.
He left on the day 6 of the competition and, I guess there was a video of him that showed, hello guys, surprise, I'm actually not a Big Brother house guest, but I'm part of the Big Brother twist. From this moment on, I'm out of the house. That means you're all one step closer to the $250,000 prize.
What kind of twist is that?
I don't know. Maybe they thought he was going to be the big villain of the whole thing, and that's who they'd have to watch out for.
I guess everything that I had read was they were like, he didn't act like he was part of the twist. Like they basically said that like he tried in competitions and he tried to get power and talked game with the other people. It wasn't like he was trying to hide something or keeping his distance from everybody.
Well, it says that he originally said no to joining the series, but he was later convinced by CBS executives who pitched him joining the show as a twist.
Jesus. How fucked up do you need to be?
He said, the show is incredibly unscripted. I never got to know what the twist was until about 15 minutes before I walked out of the house. I did the recording and then literally they whisked me out the back door.
But that's not part of the thing. There's no reason to go out the back door.
It's just another scam.
Jesus.
It's fake news. It's fake news. That's what it is.
Fake news.
It's the Russians.
Yeah, they got him out of the house.
Yeah.
It's all the Russians.
So at least we don't have to deal with him being on TV, so you know.
Yeah, but at least if he was stuck in the house for a couple months, he wouldn't, you know, be out talking about whatever the fuck's going on.
Yeah. Florida has lost their Secretary of State.
Why?
Well, because they found photos of him in blackface as a Katrina victim at a party. So, yeah, that happened.
Oh, my God. Really? Yep.
Oh, yeah.
When did this happen?
2005.
No, when did
when the party was? Oh, like over the weekend.
Oh,
like Friday.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. And somebody voted for him. That's all I gotta say.
What was this dude's name?
What was his name? Secretary of State guy. All right, lost it.
Florida Secretary of State. Okay. Mike Ertl.
Yes.
He looks like a douchebag.
Oh, he is.
By mid-afternoon, Ertl turned in his resignation after photos emerged of him posing as a Hurricane Katrina victim in blackface at a private Halloween party 14 years ago, 2 months after 1,800 people were killed by the massive storm. Wow.
Yeah, isn't that great? These are the politicians you people are voting for, guys. Good for you. All right, good for you. That's what it is. You deserve whatever shit comes down the pike.
Oh, not only is he dressed in blackface, but he also, I guess, was a black woman?
Yes.
Because he's got big old pair of titties.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow. Oh, holy shit.
Yes, that's my state.
The photos are the sole blemish on a seemingly spotless public career, highlighted by a record of increasing voter registration and making the election office more accessible to the public. It's pretty, like, once you put something on the fucking internet, it will find you.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing. I mean, my question would be, like, how did these emerge? Like,
I don't know. Didn't say.
Did he have somebody in his past that was like, I'm going to fuck this guy over?
Would be surprised.
Wow.
Let me take a picture of that. I may need it in 10 years.
Wow. Okay. Oh, he was in the middle of trying to restore voting rights to the ex-felons?
Yes, that was one of his things.
Okay. See, if somebody doesn't like your fucking politics, they will dig into your past and fucking find a way to take you down. Wow. That's pretty fucked up, man.
Yep.
And then to on the right, under more stories, there's five U.S. politicians who dressed in blackface this century. There was the Illinois mayor and state Senate candidate who dressed like a rapper. There was a South Carolina candidate dressed as a Jamaican bobsledder. That was a Republican. Louisiana candidate blackface part of a good night at church. A Republican ordained minister told the Shreveport Times that the photo has been taken 15 years prior at a church fall festival where volunteers were told to dress as famous people. Tiger Woods was at the height of his popularity as a world champion, and that was who I was dressed as, Gaddy said. Gaddy also told the Times the release of the photo to the Hayride, a self-described conservative political commentary website for Louisiana, was a move by his political opponents. There was a New York assemblyman dressed like a black basketball star for a Jewish holiday.
Because please tell me, which Jewish holiday do you dress up for?
In February of 2013, Brooklyn assemblyman Dov Hikind initially defended his decision to dress in an Afro wig, orange jersey, sunglasses, and have a makeup artist apply blackface to him for the Jewish holiday of Purim. P-U-R-I-M.
Uh-huh.
Wearing costumes for the holiday is a common occurrence.
Oh, okay. Well, there you, it's, hey, you've learned something else. Happy Purim. Please join us for our Purim Day broadcast.
Yes. When the backlash began, Hakind, a Democrat, wrote on his blog that this is political correctness to the absurd. But officials in his own party, the Anti-Defamation League, and several others denounced the display. He later apologized to those he offended. In hindsight, I should have picked something else, he said. It never crossed my mind for a split second that I was doing something wrong.
Well, see, that's just it.
And then
people are too goddamn stupid.
And then in 2008, there was a Kansas mayor who dressed as a drag queen to raise money for foster children. The mayor of a small Kansas city participated in an annual fundraiser for foster children, dressed as what he told Fox News was tan face.
Okay.
Blackface is shoe polish. Who said Mel Kuhn, K-U-H-N, Kun Kuhn, who used a children's name that's a reference to female genitalia. That's not what I did. I dress up what? To win and because it was so hilarious. That's what it says. He used a character.
A children's name?
Okay, wait a minute. I just went to the Dublin, the NAACP site that had this. Mayor won a beauty pageant fundraiser last weekend. Kuhn participated in the Men in Tights Drag Queen Contest and has become an annual fundraiser for CASA, court-appointed special advocates. He named his character Smellicious Poon.
Class all the way.
Oh, my God.
Class.
And the name appeared on programs and was announced during the event. He also had backup dancers for the talent portion and called them the Red Hot Poontangs. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's funny. I mean, it's not funny, but it's funny.
It's funny, sad.
Wow. And there's a picture of him dressed up, and it's really bad. Mm. Oh, God. So, yes, there has been a lot of blackface during this century by politicians.
Well, that's great.
Oh, God, that's... Oh. I laugh so hard I have a headache now. Oh, wow. Okay. Blackface is bad, but those pictures are funny just because these people fucked up so bad.
Right.
Oh, man. Okay. Whew. The Red Hot Poontangs.
That's amazing.
All right, let's talk about something else.
Okay.
So did you watch any TV this week?
I watched some.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you watch Gotham?
I did.
I don't feel it was as strong as the other ones, but, you know, they can't all be, like, best thing ever.
Right. Yeah. What did you think of Catwoman's Revenge?
I know, like, we know he's not dead.
Right.
We've seen, one of the problems with producing a trailer, a movie-style trailer for your final season is you put in shit from all the episodes.
Right.
And we know that there hasn't been a scene where Jeremiah has faced Bruce at Ace Chemicals. So there's no way that he's dead. I don't know how they're going to bring him back at this point. The only thing that I can think of is they're digging for something. Like the whole conceit about where Jerome has been is that he has been digging.
Right.
For an X amount of time for something that we don't know where they're going.
Well, you don't think they're just trying to get underneath the river? So they have a pipeline to the outside?
I'm wondering whether or not he's looking for a Lazarus pit.
That conveniently happens to be underneath Gotham.
Well, I mean, that, like, we know Ra's al Ghul was there.
Right.
So maybe he created a Lazarus pit or brought some of the Lazarus water over, and he knows that if he has access to this, nobody can beat him.
Yeah, true.
I don't know. Like, I honestly don't know where it's going. All I know is that, like, we know that the Lazarus pit fucks you up. And putting somebody like Jeremiah into that, especially after he's been stabbed a bunch of times, might right. push him towards the actual Joker personification.
Yeah, even though that's not his story.
No, of course not. But nothing in this show is canon anymore.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So, I mean, we'll see. But, you know, I thought some of it was cool. I don't know what the hell they're doing with the Riddler.
No, see, it's odd how some of them just evolve into the cartoon version of themselves. And then the Riddler is like, they're trying to show the dichotomy and the split personality. And it's like, why are you wasting all this energy on the Riddler?
Right. And I find it, one of the things that I laughed out loud at is he was trying to be the comic book version of the Riddler at one point in this episode. And he had to go with Lucius Fox because Lucius had a file that he needed.
Right.
And Lucius was like, look, I need your help, whatever. So he tries to lay this riddle on him. And Lucius just looks at him and goes, it's a name. What do you need? And it was like, the dude can't even do like the riddles correctly.
Right.
So I don't know what they're trying to get at as far as like what they're doing with this character.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's the weakest part to me. I mean, even though the Bruce stuff I don't really like, but I'd rather watch the kid try to be Batman than what they're doing with the Riddler.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked when Gotham started and like Ed Nygma was working with the police department. It was an interesting take on that whole thing. And
sure.
Like, how is he going to get from there to be the Riddler that everybody knows? And you get to here and you're like, oh yeah, that's kind of stupid.
It's like, oh, that's it.
Yeah. I mean, they never really explained at the end of last season. Nygma and what's her name? The doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Had like shot or stabbed each other and they were right. both laying on the ground. And then, Dr. Strange walked in and was like, what should I do with you two? And then you start this season and it's 3 months later and it's like nothing ever happened. So I'm wondering if that's going to get paid off. If somehow Strange is the one that did something to Enigma to.
Oh, that he's another one of his experiments?
Yeah, or something.
Could be.
Because that's kind of where they were going. But have we seen. We haven't seen what's her name yet, have we? The
doctor?
The doctor.
No, we haven't.
Okay. So I don't know. It's. With a limited run of 10 episodes, you really think that they would be doing less of this crap?
Yeah.
Like I wasn't sure the whole Zazz thing this week.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. we
see. I'm sure there's going to be a Mr. Freeze centric episode coming up.
They're going to try to hit all of the villains.
I think it's going to try to hit all the villains in terms of where they now are in Gotham.
Right.
So it's kind of like, oh, and these are all still in play. However, we're going off the air, so we're not going to finish any of this shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I know you're not watching it, but I also watched the second episode of Discovery.
The Star Trek thing?
Star Trek thing.
Yeah.
Did we ever talk about the lawsuit that they were facing?
No, I don't think so.
So, are you ever going to watch Discovery? Like, do you
probably
have any...
not.
Okay. So, one of the things that you find out in the first season was that the whole point of the Discovery ship is that it's like an experimental science ship that is working on a new type of propulsion. And it's a thing called a spore drive. And it basically allows you to travel to any point in the galaxy at any time instantaneously. It's like your own personal wormhole thing.
Okay.
And the only way that it could be powered was through this big blue, what they call the tardigrade, which is on Earth, they're like microscopic little organisms, but this one was like 6 feet tall or whatever. And the entire point of the first season was the construction and the failure of the spore drive, because this is 10 years before Kirk and Spock. And then in no time in the last 50 years of Star Trek, have they ever brought up anything called a spore drive? There's never been any point where they were trying to figure out how to go faster than warp 10, where they were like, oh, you know what? These people before, there was this thing called a spore drive. That's never happened. So there was a game designer who for the last 3 or 4 years has been working on a game called the Blue Tardigrade.
Oh.
In which you travel around the universe through using the Blue Tardigrade instantaneously to any point where you want to go. So he was told by a whole bunch of people that had been following his game, hey, you might want to look into Star Trek Discovery, because they just introduced this as the point of the season. So he called up CBS and said, I just wanted to let you know, here's all my copyright information about the Blue Tardigrade and this thing. And the letter he got back from CBS basically said, okay, we got all your stuff. Don't bring it up again and we won't sue you.
They were going to sue him?
Yeah, and he basically said, and that was the point of all of it. He said, how are you going to sue me? You took my idea. And the response back was basically, we're CBS. You don't stand a chance in court. Just leave it alone.
Oh, wow.
So he took him to court. And they are now under this... they're under this lawsuit because this dude can show that 2 years before they even announced Star Trek Discovery, that he had this game in the works and he's got all the stuff like laid out of trademarks and copyrights, and he did all the shit that he was supposed to do. So in the meantime, they decided that they were going to abandon the whole spore drive thing within the show and go back to a regular quote-unquote Star Trek show. And when they did that, they're introducing the Enterprise and Spock. And they're now taking ideas that they've done in the last couple of Star Trek episodes or series and redoing them for Discovery. And it's like, you have a group of writers. Why can't you do something that feels new and without stealing somebody else's intellectual property? And everything that they've done so far with this season is all a takeoff on something that we've already seen. And everything that I've seen online says that if you really want a new Star Trek show, you really should be watching The Orville. Because I guess, and I haven't watched this season, but I guess they've cut down on the humor.
They have. It's much more like Star Trek now. And
it's now a serious show? Is that what they're trying to do?
Well, the green blob voiced by Norm MacDonald hasn't been seen.
Okay.
But there's humor.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a little more serious.
Okay. I mean, it's a little more
I don't want to say sitcom-y, but now the second in command who was married to Seth MacFarlane is now dating someone else.
Okay.
And he sort of finds someone, but she was an undercover Cree who was there to lure him off the ship. And it's very rom-com-y.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so everybody that I've seen is set, like they're just grasping at straws on the Star Trek thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're saying that when they bring the Picard series, like, there might not even be Starfleet in it.
Oh, really?
And it's like, then is it really Star Trek?
In that Starfleet as
that he is,
exists?
No, he has left Starfleet.
Oh.
He is no longer has anything to do with them, and that this show is going to be like Picard, the retirement years.
Oh, well, that's exciting.
And I'm like, that doesn't sound fun at all.
Didn't he retire to a vineyard in the first series?
Well, that was, so in the last episode.
Oh, that was, no, that was one of the movies, wasn't it?
No, that was the last episode of the Next Generation. He keeps having these visions of the future in which he has gone back to the family vineyard. And Q keeps pulling him in and out of time. So like his future is the vineyard, and, he was married to Crusher at one point, and there was all this shit that went on.
He was married to Wesley Crusher?
No, his mom.
That's sick. Oh,
why? There's nothing wrong with marriage like that, John. What are you trying to say?
Uh-huh.
So, that was that storyline, but they're saying like that wasn't a real future for them.
Oh, okay.
And that this is going to take place maybe not on Earth and like away from Starfleet, and it's like that just sounds like Patrick Stewart wants to do a show where he plays Picard, but he doesn't really play Picard.
Sure.
Because they were asking Jonathan Frakes about it. They were like, so you're going to be on the new Picard show?
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't think there's anybody from the original Next Generation cast that wouldn't do it.
Right.
But at that point, it's not the Picard show.
Well, it could be like Frasier. Yeah. Like, you know, every so often somebody drops in from Cheers.
They just pop in.
You know. All of a sudden, you know, Neelix pops in for tea.
Worf shows up. I was visiting my parents, and I decided to come see you, old man.
See?
Did you know? Okay, so here's something I learned this week. Did you know that there was a crossover, a canon crossover that happened between Star Trek: The Next Generation and Webster?
What?
The very last episode of Webster, he gets sucked into a wormhole and winds up on the Enterprise.
Webster does?
Yes. Where he hangs out with Worf.
Okay.
And he's playing video games or something. So they made a video about this. He's playing video games and it either gets, there's a storm outside and he either gets struck by lightning or the house gets struck and he winds up breaking the joystick that he has.
Okay.
And he gets transported to the Enterprise into the future. And he starts talking to Worf, who is Michael Dorn. And, they take his joystick away and they repair it. And then they basically tell him that he can go home whenever he wants. He just has to
click concentrate.
Well, that's kind of the idea, that he's got to concentrate hard enough to get back home. And he wakes up in bed and he was like, oh, it all must have been a dream. And then he takes out the repaired joystick and there's a little tag on it that says repaired by so-and-so USS Enterprise. So in their desperation to close up the Webster thing, and apparently what happens in the episode is while he's talking to Worf, it becomes a flashback episode of like
yes.
all of the greatest moments of Webster. If there are greatest moments of Webster.
Apparently there were.
And so it's this whole thing of like they I guess when they announced that Webster was going away, they had to write the episode and they didn't know what to do. And they shot next door to the Next Generation and somebody said, could we use them? And I guess they went to Michael Dorn and Michael Dorn said, yeah, sure, I'll do it. Why not?
How much you paying me?
Yeah, exactly. All right. And if you see the footage, it looks like whenever they lit it, they didn't light it with the Next Generation lights. They brought their own lights to light the set.
Sure.
And it looks so fucking bad.
Wow.
But it's the Next Generation set with like people in uniform and you don't ever get to see any of like the command people. But yeah, there was an actual crossover between Star Trek and Webster. Another thing you didn't know.
Wow. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Fascinating. We had another masked singer unmasked this week.
You did?
We did. We now know that the poodle was Margaret Cho.
I think when we talked last week and I looked that up, somebody was saying that might be Margaret Cho.
I think so.
So they were finally right about one of them.
Yep. And I'm beginning to believe that the B is Gladys Knight.
Are you?
Yep.
Why?
Because I listened to her sing in this last episode and I can kind of hear her in it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. So Kathy Lee is the masked singer in On Air Surprise. What does that mean?
I don't know what that was.
Oh, that might be. So the peacock from the masked singer was accidentally exposed?
I haven't heard that either.
During an interview with Access Live earlier this month, she appeared to accidentally reveal that the celebrity behind the mask of the peacock is none other than her brother. But didn't everybody already kind of...
Everybody already is kind of saying that, yeah.
Okay.
Why would she say that? She's so stupid. My God.
Well, you know.
What a moron.
Wow, okay. There's all kinds of, like, we tried to figure out who this person is on the masked singer. They're saying that the Raven has to be Ricky Lake. Raven has listened to many other people's stories, but she also talks a lot. She recently suffered a tragic loss, and this show
Another one?
Is a way to honor her beloved. She was once very lonely and no one recognized my beauty. Eventually, though, a man came to town and took me away from my flock. She then cried tears of love into the Hudson River.
What?
So, okay, so those were, I guess those are the clues that the Raven has said so far.
Oh, okay.
And so for 11 years, Ricky had her own daytime talk show where she both listened to many people's stories and spent lots of time talking. So that covers the first clue. She also suffered a tragic loss in February 2017 when her husband, jewelry designer Christian Evans, died by suicide. To add to that evidence, Ricky was born in Hastings-on-Hudson, a small town off the Hudson River in 1968. As a young woman and perhaps lonely actress, Ricky struggled for some time to find the right roles for her, but then John Waters, dare I say, the man that came to town, cast her as Tracy in the 1988 musical movie of Hairspray, and her life changed forever. So yeah, they're saying that the Raven is Ricky Lake.
Okay. I hope at least one of these people is a legitimate celebrity.
you don't think Ricky Lake is a celebrity?
No. Or Terry Bradshaw, or Tommy Chong, or Donny Osmond.
You don't think Donny Osmond's considered a celebrity? For as popular as the Donny and Marie show was and all that
Yeah,
shit?
But he's not relevant.
Does a celebrity have to be relevant?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what makes him a celebrity.
But we talked last week about fame and celebrity, and you said it was pretty much the same thing.
Well, it is.
But you can be, he's famous.
He is famous.
So that makes him a celebrity, according to you.
Well, yeah, but I mean a celebrity of name. like, you know, you're going to see that like, oh my God, the alien is Kurt Russell. Or Robert Downey Jr. Or, you know, some big celebrity, not Antonio Brown.
The only way Robert Downey Jr. does it, if he can do it in the Iron Man outfit.
Well, that would be funny. Wouldn't that be funny? Iron Man comes out.
Yes.
Sings, and then they unmask him, and it's Robert Downey Jr.
Didn't Robert Downey Jr. do like a CD or something? Didn't he sing?
He sang. Yeah, he sang when he was on Ally McBeal.
That's it. There you go.
He's on their Christmas album, and he's on one of the other albums.
Yes, let's see. His singing career. Yeah, he did the Ally McBeal stuff.
Yep.
I thought he had put out an album, though.
No, I don't think he did his own.
No? Okay. Okay. Well, see, they could do it. I mean, if they could get Ryan Reynolds on the Japanese one.
Right.
You know, you talk to him, you talk to Downey about doing like something for charity, I'm sure he would show up for one episode.
Oh, sure.
As Iron Man.
Sure. If Disney would allow him.
Yeah, well. Do you think Disney still holds sway over him?
Well, he wouldn't be able to do the character without Disney's approval.
Right, but what I'm saying, like they would have to take it as a serious consideration though.
Sure.
To be like,
but I,
you know,
but I also think that after the next Avengers movie, that we've probably seen the last of most of that original group of superheroes.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, his contract is up,
mm-hmm.
and he's very expensive now.
Well, and when you consider when they were making Iron Man, they were making that at the same time as they were making Incredible Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
And they had put all their money into Incredible Hulk because they didn't feel that Robert Downey Jr. was strong enough to carry a movie by himself anymore.
Yep.
And now he built their franchise to the point where people are like, oh yeah, they did an Incredible Hulk movie, didn't they? Nobody's saying, oh yeah, they did an Iron Man film. Because everybody fucking knows.
Right.
So yeah, that's fucked up. And he only made $50,000 for that first Iron Man film.
Well, yeah, I mean he was kind of no one.
Yeah, he was a big risk for them.
Well, he was, because it was just coming off of being this raging drunk and drug user. So yeah.
Yeah, that's it's an interesting turn. That's an interesting story.
Yeah.
But good for him. just shows you kids that you can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You can change your life. It's never too late.
Well, you got anything else?
No, I'm good. Are you
okay?
Good?
I'm good.
All right. All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Goodbye. That's all you're getting.